A lot of times when we talk about what is our mission as a church, a lot of people will give you different ideas about what the mission of the church is all about. But I think as I think about the mission of the church, in order for us to understand that, to truly grasp and understand what God's mission through the church is, we have to take a closer look at who Jesus is. We have to understand what Jesus' mission was on earth. So in order for us to understand what our mission as Jesus' representatives is going to be. You see, Jesus was on a mission for God. We talked about that this morning on Sunday school. He said, I'm here sent. I came not on my own, he says, but he sent me. And Jesus said that his food was to do the will of him who sent him. God has always been a God of missions. And it's intriguing to me that God, as powerful as he is, still utilizes people, teeny tiny people like us, to accomplish his purposes. To me, it boggles my mind. God can use anything. He could have used superpowered people, but he used you and I to do his mission on earth. All the way from the beginning of times, you see God's calling people on mission. He's commanding people. Moses, go get my people back. God could have freed Israel with a snap of the fingers if he wanted to. Why did Moses have to go? God always been in the business of sending people out on missions. Jesus demonstrated that when he walked on earth because, he selected 12 apostles. Did Jesus need help? I mean, it's like he could have done it by himself if he wanted to, but he's showing people why it's important to be in community. He's showing people that, and then later on, Jesus tells the apostles, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I'm sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Sending you in what? I mean, we talked about the mission of the church. When you hear about, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I'm with you always to the very end of age. God is a missionary God, and he has people like you and I to accomplish his purposes and his mission. Scripture is so clear because Paul talks about to the church in Ephesus, and he says that it's now going to be through the church that the manifold wisdom of God will be transmitted or broadcasted to rulers and authority in the heavenly realm. So it's going to be through the church. It's almost like God is saying, if the church don't get it, no one will, because there's no plan B. If the church don't get this, that's it. Now, but you and I have to understand that the church eventually will get it, because when I read Revelation and I see people from every nation, tongue, and tribe, it tells me that the mission of God has been fulfilled. So, but in order for us to understand, how do we even go about making disciples? Even before you even get a candidate to be a disciple, how do you even talk to that person? That's why I think in order for us to truly understand and grasp our mission as followers of Jesus, we need to first take a look at Jesus and see how he did it. Let's look at how Jesus did it so that we can learn from Jesus and then do what he did and how he fulfilled his purposes, his mission on earth. My friends, Jesus' mission is our mission. And we are called to be, the Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. We're called to be missionaries. Somebody used that word entitled missional, which means to live as missionaries in the culture. That's what you and I are supposed to do. That's where we come in. That's the part of a mission, to be missionaries in the culture. Now, that's the kicker is, how do we ever go? How do we go about doing that? What does it actually mean to live as missionaries in the culture? And that's why I want to tell you the story, that to look at Jesus, how he did it, and learn from Jesus. I mean, we talked about we try to love like Jesus, serve like Jesus. But how about living as missionary in the culture like Jesus did? Because exactly that's what he did. When you look at his life in the gospel, Jesus was counterculture. He was like doing things that people like thought. I mean, they looked at Jesus funny many times because like we don't do those things around here. And I think that's why I think in order for us to understand truly our mission as followers of Jesus, we need to first understand our master, understand how Jesus lived, how he did things, so then we can understand, oh, now I know how I can do it. And I've also been empowered to do it. There was a man in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. That's what we're going to spend some time on today. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 19 verses 1 through 10, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector. He wanted to meet who Jesus was, because you and I need to understand, the fame of Jesus was extraordinary. A lot of people wanted to meet Jesus. I mean, everybody knew that there was a man, a Jewish rabbi, that he could do miracles, that his teaching was not like the other rabbis, because apparently Jesus' teaching has some authority and it was evident. People saw it. Now, this man named Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. He heard so much about Jesus. He said, man, I wish I can meet him. I mean, and then guess what? Jesus is going to Jericho. That's where Zacchaeus was from. And Zacchaeus had a problem because he was too short. And you know, everywhere Jesus went, there were so many people taller than you, and you could not see. And but Zacchaeus had a great idea to climb a tree, because he understood Jesus was going to go by, so that way at least he can see who the man was. So let's read that story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. I'll be reading from the 1984 NIV. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. And look at how Jesus interacted with this man. Luke tells us, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter or grumble or complain. He had gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the crowd, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. That's the story of Zacchaeus, and perhaps you heard the story and you learned a song when you went to Sunday school about Zacchaeus. It was a short little man, but he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, Luke describes for us this man, chief tax collectors, a tax collector, very wealthy. And usually, if you understand the history of that time, in the first century, the majority of tax collectors would be wealthy because they would help themselves or what they collected. Usually, they will collect a little more because they want a commission of what they're collecting. Of course, I mean, you know, Matthew, one of the disciples, was a tax collector. You will have more money because, you know, you would do your own thing. It's your job for the Roman Empire, but you will help yourself to the table as well. So Zacchaeus wasn't just any tax collector. He was a chief among the tax collectors. And for some reason, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't stop there. He said, you know what? Jesus is in town today. He's coming by around here. The crowd's coming this way. There's a tree. I'm going to climb on that tree. He climbed on that sycamore tree because he knew Jesus would pass by. And then, remember, that's all he wanted to do, to see who Jesus was. You know, so many people in the crowd, I mean, everybody, oh, that's him. That's what he wanted to see. But Zacchaeus got more than he bargained for. He not only got to see Jesus, now Jesus is calling him by name. Jesus said, and Jesus called him by name, and Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. I mean, I don't know how many of us do that today. He said, hey, stop what you're doing. I'm gonna spend time with, you know. Zacchaeus was like, well, you know, so he not only got to see Jesus, Jesus called him by name. And perhaps, the text doesn't say, but I wonder if Zacchaeus said, well, who told him my name? Maybe I'm so famous too because I'm a chief tax collector. But like, how did he know my name? Zacchaeus, hey, hurry up, man, come down. I'm gonna stay at your house today. And I love, because he just so happily, he got down from that tree. And the Bible says that he welcomed Jesus gladly. Now, In verse 7, the critics speak. Jesus had gone into the house of somebody that the crowd did not like very much. And in those days, you examine the culture of the first century in Palestine and Jerusalem, you would not eat with people who were not like you. In that culture, if you were a tax collector, your best friends were tax collectors. If you were Republican, your best friends would be Republicans. If you were black, your best friends would be, you will eat with black people. That's the culture. White people will eat with white people. Jews with Jews. That's why do you think that the Samaritan woman was surprised when Jesus spoke to her and she said to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, talk to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. We don't get along, man. Don't you know our history? But that's what something you and I need to understand about Jesus. He was counterculture when he came to the mission of God. And he didn't see a label on people. He saw people for who they were. Zacchaeus, hated by the community. I mean, of course, you want to see Jesus, but that man that you want to see now, he said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to stay in your house tonight, today. And he just came down. So that's why the critics, they see that. That's just flabbergasted for people to see, like, Jesus is a rabbi. Why is he going and hanging out with those people? So it says that, verse 7, when people saw this, they began to mutter and complain that he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. They already labeled Zacchaeus as a sinner, but the Bible already says that we're all sinners. See? But again, it's because of the animosity that existed between tax collectors were hated by Romans because, by Jews. Especially if you were a Jewish person when you were collecting taxes for the Roman government, the government that we want to get rid of, that's just wrong, man. So tax collectors were hated by society. It's like, you know, a lot of people in the United States, they hate the IRS. The tax collector, we don't want to pay taxes. And, you know, but the system here was even worse. So they were hated by the Jews. And no wonder people say, like, why would Jesus go and eat with sinners, tax collectors and sinners? At one time in the gospel, this Pharisees asked the disciples, why does your teacher hang out? Why does your teacher eat and go to the homes of sinners and tax collectors? They could not understand why Jesus would do such a thing when most rabbis in that society would not do it. Because like I said, you would eat with people who were like you. You were poor, you only eat with poor people. You were rich, you will hang out with rich people. If you were from a different ethnicity, you go with those people. You know, that's why the church in the first century had the toughest time when other people that were not Jewish were coming to Christ. They did not understand. And no wonder Paul had to say later on, in Christ, there's no Jews or Greeks, slave or free, Republicans or Democrats. We all one in Christ. I just added those ones over there because, you know, that's the context we are. But, you know, I mean, we separate ourselves for so many things. And I think Jesus Christ still teaching us what it means to be united despite our differences. So he went to be the guest of Zacchaeus, even though he was not like Zacchaeus. Jesus was a Jewish rabbi, and he was poor, and he went and spent some time with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus not only got to see Jesus, now we're going to spend time with Jesus. But the critics were not silent. And you see, amazing things that happened because Zacchaeus spent some time with Jesus. He gets up in the middle after, we don't know, Luke doesn't tell us how long it took. But Zacchaeus, something happened to Zacchaeus' life that it was never the same. Because I guarantee you, my friends, once you let Jesus Christ in your heart, in your life radically will change. Here's an example of a man. He gets up in the middle of the meeting. He says, look, Lord, now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So if I cheated somebody with $10, I'm going to give him 40. My friends, today, in that passage, Zacchaeus became the most generous tax collector in town. The most generous man in town. I mean, look, why? Because he spent some time with Jesus and his life was never the same. Luke doesn't tell us what they talked about. But I mean, you talk a lot about things when you spend time with somebody, you know, during a meal. And you can see already the outcome of that meeting between Jesus and Zacchaeus. transformed man. Like I said, the most generous man in Jericho. Now, Jesus says something profound. He says, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is the son of Abraham. Salvation has come to this house because Zacchaeus found salvation because he found Jesus. And you see, Jesus made the point that anybody who finds salvation, you become a descendant of Abraham by faith. That's what it means to believe in Jesus, because Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. So anybody now that believes is, in a sense, spiritually speaking, a descendant of Abraham. That's what Jesus is talking about. Salvation came to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. I love this. Here's the mission part. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus is already telling us why he decided to hang out with tax collectors and the reject of society, the scum of society. Why he did that? Because they needed me. They needed Jesus. And he says, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. At one time, Jesus asked the religious leaders and said, the healthy don't need a doctor. The sick do. I have come not to call righteous to repentance, but the unjust, unrighteous people to repentance. That's why Jesus came. That was his mission. And guess what, church? Jesus' mission is our mission, to seek and save the lost. You see, Zacchaeus' lives change. Like I said, only Jesus can transform a person from being perhaps a cheater into a generous person. Somebody who only care about himself to now care about other people. Only Jesus can do those changes in us when he comes, when we let him in. You see, Zacchaeus was rich, but he was lost. Now, please hear me out. It's not that Jesus is giving people a label. Many books have been written about, we don't want to call lost people. We're to reach lost people. But let me tell you, biblically speaking, if you don't have Jesus, that's where you are. You are lost. He was rich, but he was lost. Lost means that you're separated from God because you have not believed in Jesus. Anybody who has not found salvation, anybody who has not believed in Christ is still lost. Jesus tells the story in Luke 15 about the parable of the lost sheep and how God is pursuing people because they realize without me, they are lost. Despite you being rich, black or white, you are lost if you ain't got Jesus in you. And that's what Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Zacchaeus was lost, and guess what? He did not even know it. He realized how lost he was when he spent time with Jesus, and then that's why he said, here now, I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody, I'm going to return back four times the amount. Transformation happened. He was so lost and did not even know. And we have so many people around us, they're lost because they don't have Jesus in them. And if we don't do something about them, they would die lost. Jesus said he came to seek and save what was lost. That's God's grace pursuing the sinners. Those, not believing in Christ makes you lost. Let me give you the famous verse that even unchristian people know, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you believe in him, you are saved. But if you do not, here's the key, you do not believe in him, you remain condemned. That means you're lost. So Zacchaeus, before he encountered Jesus, many of us, before we got to know Jesus, we were lost in our transgression, in our sins. We were lost, even though we might not even realize it. He came for the lost. He came for all of us. You see, every nation have lost people. Every race have lost people. Every school have lost kids. Every church, even in churches, you might have lost people because, even though you attend church, you have not given Jesus the go ahead. You have not said yes, you have not believed in Jesus. And if you do not believe in Jesus, you're not a son of Abraham. If you do not believe in Jesus, the Bible says that you are lost. So that's why Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. I came for people like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was lost, But he was found. Remember the story of the prodigal son when he found, when the shepherd found the lost sheep? He said, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And the father embraced the son because he said, "That's this son of mine was dead, is alive again. He was what? Lost, but now he's found because he's back with me." When we come back to Christ, my friends, we're no longer lost, we are found. Zacchaeus was found. And no wonder Jesus says salvation has come to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. Yeah, he, the one you didn't want to hang out with, he's the son of Abraham. That one that you said that because you didn't want to hang out because he doesn't know what he is, a man or a woman. Yeah, he can be a son of Abraham if you just decide to hang out with him and bring salvation to that, because the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus' mission was the apostles' mission. Jesus' mission is our mission. He came to seek and save the lost. And like I said, people without God in our society, they are lost. I love how Paul says that in 1 Timothy. Because remember, Paul was lost, man. He just got letters from authority because he wanted to persecute, he wanted to stop Christianity from spreading. He was lost to the point that the first time they killed a Christian, he said, "Go ahead, I hang on to your clothes, to your coats, just kill him." He was so lost, persecuting, arresting Christians, and he thought he was doing a great job. Until one time he met Jesus on the way to do a job. He met Jesus and his life was transformed dramatically. And he said these words: "Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." He came for lost people. But lost people, the moment they find Jesus, they are no longer lost. They are found. And they too are sons of Abraham by faith, because Jesus Christ, he does that. He has that effect on people. If you truly let him, I would say sometimes people don't want Jesus to come into their affairs because they really don't want Jesus to interrupt what they're doing. Because if you truly let him, there's a lot of things you'll be stopping that you would not do anymore. If you truly surrender, like we sing sometimes, I always say, we say that we sing that song, but we don't truly do it. "I surrender all." That's such a lie. "I surrender all." Truly, we say, I think the song should have been said, "I surrender some," because we don't want to surrender everything to God. Because we want to keep something to us, like, Jesus, you know, you're getting too personal now. I just want to keep my marriage to me, or my parenting, or Jesus, give him all to me. You know, because some of the things, we're so lost. And Jesus, through him, we can be found, my friends. Zacchaeus' life was never the same. I wish that Zacchaeus would have written something about that experience that he had with Jesus that day over a meal. A day, his life was drastically changed, and he found salvation. And Jesus said, you know, Jesus is telling us why he chose to hang out with people like Zacchaeus, because he came for people like him, lost without knowing it. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus' mission is our mission, church. We are also to seek and save the lost. We are to live as missionary in the culture like Jesus Christ did it. Now, how did Jesus seek the lost? Let me give you a word that will help us today. How do we seek the... I mean, before we even make disciples of people, I mean, to make disciples, you have to almost have a relationship with those people. Before we even start there, how do you and I seek the lost? Word, intentional. We have to be intentional about it, otherwise you're not going to do anything. Jesus Christ was intentional. He could have just said, "Hey, hi Zacchaeus, nice to see you, man. I'm going to spend time with you now." And he went to his house. Sometimes we don't want to hang out with certain people because perhaps they don't believe the same way we believe, or they don't look like us or talk like us. And, you know, I'm Dominican, man, preaching a whole bunch of people. There's like so many diversified races in here. Tell me that God is not a God of, you know, connection. I never thought I'd be a preacher in the first place. My first language was Spanish. And how is it I'm preaching in English to a whole bunch of people? In English, that was my worst subject in high school. I failed it. You know, whatever God's going to do, he does when we're willing to. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. How you and I seek the lost, we have to be intentional about that. We have to be intentional about wanting to hang out with them. We have to be intentional about going where they are. Somebody said, Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You cannot be a good fisherman if you don't go where the fish are. I'm going to fish here. Why are you fishing here? Oh, because I want to. But there's no fishing here. Oh, that's a man. I mean, how stupid is that? If you know the fish are there, you go where the fish are. So, Jesus, in order for us to reach the lost, we have to be intentional. We have to be willing to hang out with people that are not like us and believe like us. Otherwise, how are we going to seek and save them? That's what Jesus told them. The sick are the ones who need a doctor, a physician. I came to save and seek what was lost. You have to make a decision to go where they are. You see, Jesus Christ is sending us to them. You have to be intentional at work, at school, where you shop at, where you go and travel. When Jesus Christ was criticized because he chose to hang out with people like that. I was having a conversation with an elder the other day from a different church. And it kind of like, it sheds some light to, you know, a lot of people in churches, they think that we ministers only work on Sunday. You know, that's our job on Sunday, right? We don't do anything else. So he's an elder in a church, and then he said, you know, he was explaining to me and telling me how, you know, people, he said, I'm talking to people in the congregation, we're telling them that, you see, even when our pastor go out to dinner with somebody, he's working. And I said, well, wow, you should come and explain that to some people in our church, because sometimes they don't get it either. When you spend time with somebody, even when I'm playing softball church, do you realize that I'm working for the Lord? Because even in the field, I have a whole bunch of lost people. And if I'm there, I'm supposed to be a light and the soul to them. But I have to be intentional when they say to me, hey, would you pray with me? Would you do this for me? Remember me in your prayers when you go to church? You have to be intentional. You can just ignore the opportunity and go. Otherwise, we're never going to reach lost people if we're not intentional. Where you work, I'm pretty sure those people don't know Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, they're what? Lost. And you're there to be Jesus. Where you go to school, there's a lot of lost people there. Where you're going on the train, when you're waiting for the bus, there's a lot of people. People, where you go shopping, I always see people there. And, you know, I always engage in conversation. You do a great job, Alex, about doing that. You know, this guy is overwhelming sometimes. You talk to anybody. But you have to be intentional. That's being intentional. And sorry that I'm using your name, but, you know, it's like, I see it. You know, you have to be intentional about talking and being willing to, even if they don't say hi to you back. He said, you see, he came to for the spiritual sick. That's Jesus. Those who are lost and in need of saving grace. And our job is to rearrange that meeting with Jesus. Our job is to seek him, to search for the lost, so that they also can be found. And it starts by you just wanting to hang out with them. Even playing video games. You guys have a whole lot of lost people coming to your house once in a while. And there, through that meeting, you never know what impact God can create just because you decided to hang out with that person. Just because you decided, you know what, let's just have coffee. I mean, you know, a lot of conversation can develop over, sharing a meal or, you know, having a cup of coffee with somebody that's not like you. That's becoming intentional. That is being intentional, which means that's your purpose. You purposefully want to do that with those people because you don't know what God can do by you being there at that time. So many people, some of you have stories of how, like, God transformed somebody because, you know, all you did was say hello. You were there when they needed you. It starts by being willing to associate with them, just like Jesus. Remember, the critics were mad. It's like, how is it? Why would he go to be the guest of a sinner? And Jesus said, because I came to seek and save what was lost. They need Jesus. They need my saving grace. And if I'm not willing to even go where they are, what makes you think that they will come? Church, in order for us to reach the lost, you see, you and I cannot reach the lost on Sunday morning here because we don't have any. In order for us to reach the lost, I mean, we get encouraged. You get pep talks from me as a manager, as a coach, in a sense. to reach the lost, which when you get out of here today, somebody, maybe the moment you get out of Church Avenue, there's going to be a lost people go by and you had to probably almost kill you in the car. They need Jesus. It's when you get out of here that you're going to already in the mission field where you work, where you go to school, everywhere you go, there are lost people. They need Jesus' saving grace and you are there to represent Him. God has placed you there to search for them. The preacher, maybe an elder cannot go there, but you are there to be your God's, Jesus' representatives. That task is for all of us, not just church leaders, because all of us are followers of Christ and all of us are giving opportunities everywhere we go. I mean, as you go, that's what the Great Commission said, as you go, make disciples. And that's what the disciples did. As they traveled, they encountered people and talked to people, hang out with people. People opened their homes. They talked with them. And at the end of the day, Jerusalem and that Judea area was filled with churches because that's how they made disciples. As you go, make disciples. Wherever life takes you, go for the law, for the lost. Search for them. Seek and save the lost. That's our mission. Zacchaeus' life changed during a mealtime with Jesus. Imagine what God can do just because you decide to spend time with somebody. Imagine, I mean, God, He can do so much just when we're willing. He intentionally said, you know what, I'm just going to go because God can do amazing things through me. See, our mission has not changed. The time changed, culture has changed, but the mission still remains the same. To go and seek the lost so that we can make him develop him into disciples of Jesus. So in terms of disciples, we'll continue to make disciples. And they go and pretty soon, we don't have more lost people, but we have found. They've been found for the glory of God. We're not going to search lost people if we only choose to hang out with Christian people. It's impossible to search the lost when we only choose to hang out with Christian people. You gotta get out of the salt shaker and go out. You know, you gotta be able to have friends that are not Christians, that don't believe like you, so that we can reach them for the love of God. Our mission is accomplished when we, each of us, decide to intentionally, you know, talk about with them, to intentionally spend time with them. And it won't be accomplished if we don't go where they are. In the Lord of the Rings, Frodo, he has a mission to carry the ring to the Mount of Mordor because that's where the ring was forged. That's where it also be unforged. That's where the ring will be destroyed. He has a mission. And on the way there, on the journey, when you see the three movies of the Lord of the Rings, he's struggling with that. One time, he's all by himself and he doesn't realize, like he doesn't have any more strength. He realized, you know, I don't know that I can do this. My friends, I don't even know what they are. I don't know that I can do this. And finally, one of the elves comes to Frodo and say these words. And I want to leave you with these words. Because Frodo at that time, he's struggling with a decision. And I know many of you are probably going to go and watch a movie to make sure that released. You know, but maybe you should watch it. He said, this task has been appointed to you, Frodo of the Shires. And if you do not find a way, no one will. Can I paraphrase that? It says, this task of seeking and saving the lost has been appointed to us, church, and if we do not find our way, no one will.